Yesterday I was looking at Psalm 31, and as I had mentioned yesterday, Psalm 31 is one of those psalms, I think we all have places in the Word of God that just speak to us. And it's kind of like in things, you know, anything in life. There are certain things that just have strong remembrances for you. And there can be things that you see or things that you hear. There can even be smells that you have in life that bring back memories, strong memories. And that same thing is true for the Word of God. The longer that we are believers and the more time we spend in the Word, the more there's an association with certain verses or certain stories, or in this case, certain psalms, certain sections of the Bible that were so relevant and powerful at a very dynamic point in our lives that it brings back strong memories. And for me, Psalm 31 is one of those. It's one of the first psalms that I really remember speaking to me when I was a relatively young believer. And I won't go into the details as to why it spoke to me, but suffice it to say that it spoke to me, and it still, when I read it, it still has power. It stirs those same kind of emotions, and it stirs the same kind of confidence, and it stirs within me the assurance of the promises of Jesus Christ and His love and His attention to me and for each one of us. So I'm going to read Psalm 31 to you again. I'm going to read it this morning from the New King James Bible. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Now, as we go through this, just listen to these words and let these words speak to you and where you're at today. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You've redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I'll be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you've considered my trouble. You've known my soul in adversities, and have not shut me into the hand of the enemy. And you have set my feet in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I'm a reproach among all my enemies, but especially amongst my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintance. Those who see me outside flee from me. I'm forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the Son of Man. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard my voice, the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. O love the Lord, all of you saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. I just love that. And if you put yourself in that position, here's David. David's at a time in his life. He's at a season in his life. And we talked yesterday about seasons. He's at a season in his life when he is being oppressed. He's actually been rejected by everybody. He is scorned by his enemies. But not even his enemies. He's also, even with his own neighbors, he's repulsive to his neighbors and to his acquaintances. And people who see him flee from him. He's going through that time of life when nobody wants to be associated with him. If they see him, they turn. If they see him on one side of the street, they're going to go to the other side of the street and want to not be associated with him at all. He's rejected in every way. And he knows that his enemies have the upper hand. And he knows his enemies are plotting against him. Plotting not just for his own defeat, but plotting also even to the point of plotting to take the life of David. David has nothing he can do. He's left powerless, but he remains steadfast in this. He knows the Lord, and he knows the Lord is faithful. How many times is this true in our lives? And it's not even, most of us don't even have to go ever experience a time to this extent. We might feel oppressed. We might feel like there are those who are working against us. And I guarantee you this, there is an enemy of your soul. There is an enemy of your soul who hates you and is plotting to destroy you and destroy your life if he can. We never have to experience to the extent that David did. Well, probably not. We probably won't. We never have to experience that time where we're rejected by everybody, even our friends and associates are repulsed by us and turn away from us. This is what David was having to face. And this is what David was having to endure. But he kept his ear, or he kept his mind on God. He kept his eyes on God. And he spoke with God. And he stood on the word and he stood on promises. And he knew that no matter what he faced, God was there. And God would see him through that season of his life. And God did. Now here's a couple of things. If you're going through something in your life today, and you feel like you are just overwhelmed, and you feel powerless, and you feel like, in the natural, you feel like there's absolutely no point in continuing. I'm sure in the natural, with his natural mind, David had to say, it's over. Wow. That run as being a king, that was a good run, but it's over. There is no way I can come back from this. Life as I know it has ended. And in fact, it may end. They are planning to take my life. David is facing losing absolutely everything. He's already lost almost everything. All he has left is his life. And even that is hanging in the balance. In the natural, David had to say, this is over. This is it. There's nothing that can be done in the natural. But David still kept his focus on the Lord. If you're going through a time where you feel like, you know what, I do not see how I can extricate myself from this situation. I cannot perceive of how I can be delivered from this situation. And maybe the doctors have told you there is some kind of sickness or disease that they have no frame of reference for how. They have no idea. There is nothing known to man on how to deliver you from that. You know, or maybe your wife or your husband has told you that they want a divorce. They no longer, they want to end that covenant that they had with you. You know, maybe your job is hanging in the balance. Whatever it might be that you're dealing with today or faced with today, that's part of the reason that the Lord shares these things with us. That's why he shares and had David document this for us so that we could learn from David. And you always have to remember that we have a superior covenant with God than David did, because we have the covenant that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. So David, who had an inferior covenant, but he knew the power of that covenant he had. And even when it looked helpless, and even when it looked like everything was lost, and there was absolutely no one there to stand by his side, he was rejected by everyone, and just waiting for his enemies to decide about taking his life. And yet he still looked towards God. And he still put his trust in God. And he still said, I love this in verse 16. He said, make your face, God, make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for mercy's sake. God is the God of mercy. And then David starts to take some action, the action that he can take, the action that he knows to take. Here's the first thing that David does, and it's the first key for us. David's first choice, his first decision was, in the midst of all of that, which again, must be a far worse situation than you and I will hopefully ever have to face in our lives. And even in the midst of that hopelessness and that isolation and being alone, David's first thing is, he looks to God. He knows that even though life looks like it's rejected him, God, his God, has not forgotten him. And his God is still there. And his God is still powerful. And even though David feels like he's already a broken vessel, he still looks to God. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. Others have deserted him. Others look at him as though he's already lost his mind. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. So the first thing that David does in that time of treachery and abject loss, the first thing he does is look towards God and state, you are my God, and I trust in you. David is saying he trusts in God more than he trusts in the situation. David is saying that he trusts in God more than he trusts in what he's experiencing and seeing right then. And he trusts God to shine upon him. And then he starts to take proactive action. And this is what he speaks. Don't let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. We have more authority in the words that we say in Jesus Christ than David had in his covenant. And David had the boldness to say, do not let me be ashamed, for I have called upon you. David's saying, I called upon your name. And I know you're going to move. I know you're going to act in righteousness and justice. Then he goes further. He says, let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. In other words, silence their voices. And I love this. Here's proactive. Here is speaking a word. He says, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things, proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. That is a powerful thing that he is saying. He is saying, and he's speaking and saying, let this be done. Let those lying lips be silenced. Let those lying lips be exposed. Let the lies that are being spoken be exposed. In the Amplified Bible, it says, let the lying lips be silenced, which speak insolently against the consistently righteous with pride and contempt. He's saying, in the name, in your name, in your power, God, silence those tongues. You know, you've got authority. You can do that. If there's people saying things in your life that are untrue, if there's someone that is telling a lie to you, I know many people who've faced court situations where they knew that somebody was lying in court against them. You can say, David did, and you got a better covenant. You can say, let those lying lips be silent. You can silence those lips. Let the truth be exposed, Jesus, in your name. You are righteousness. Let it be exposed. If people are saying and slanderous things towards you, if they're speaking ill of you, and you know what? There are some of you right now that are battling with this, where people are speaking ill of you, and they're talking you down. And maybe there's someone at your workplace that is talking behind your back and trying to talk you down, trying to cost you your job, or maybe there's someone that's talking to a family member or speaking lies, whatever it is. You've got a better covenant than David did. And David said, you can say the same thing. Let the lying lips be silenced. You can say in the name of Jesus, let the lying cease. Let those lips that are lying, in the authority of Jesus' name, I speak that those lips are silent and that the lies are exposed for lies and the truth for the truth. David has given us an example that even at the worst and lowest of times, first thing, look towards God. Say, I put my trust in you. I trust in you more than I trust in the things that I see and experience in this world, in this natural world. And then, as David started to speak, he was stirred in his soul and he started to speak some truths. You've got an even greater ability to speak the truths of Jesus Christ over your situation. We'll look at the end of this tomorrow and see how David handled the worst of the worst possible situations. Whatever you face is not that bad. It's not as bad as what David faced. But he shows us how. He shows us and leads us how to walk in that victory of Jesus Christ.